podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. The bearers of bad news are back. And before we get into this, I just want to give you guys a timeline, the viewers, anybody that's listening on Spotify, of events over the last year. Straight off the bat, really, before we even start with this, guys, I'm going to give you a timeline of events. So, Jurgen Klopp signs a new contract with Liverpool. Brilliant. In that same article, we were told that Jurgen Klopp will be backed. Jurgen Klopp wants Tchouaméni and Jude Bellingham. Brilliant. Two of the best midfielders in the world at the moment in time. Tchouaméni goes to Madrid, but don't worry. Jude's coming in the summer. Jude's coming. It's fine. Don't worry. I'm like, okay, fine. As long as Jude comes in the summer, that's fine. Summer comes. Again, well, summer's not even here yet, but the summer is about to come. And Liverpool, for whatever reason, have just this minute, this guy's a bit too expensive. We can't afford him. So that's where we're at right now. That's what we're going to get into today. We're going to try and figure out how this has happened, how it's taken people that are supposed to be professionals at their job 2 years to realize how much money it would take to sign Jude Bellingham and why we have just wasted 2 years. Because we have. I hate to admit it, but we have. But Elliot, how are you, mate?
not great about this, but I think it's not the end of the world if I'm going to try my best to be positive. I'll try my best. But I'm sure I'll have strong opinions.
Yeah, big up. And Shiggs, you're going to come here with the "I told you so" energy. So come
on. I'm not, you know what it is? I'm not. When someone does something on numerous occasions, I'm not surprised by this behavior no more. When we won the Champions League, okay, we're going to strengthen. I don't know if we bought anybody. When we won the league, we was going to strengthen. We did. Seth Vandenberg and who else? So, it's on us. They made mugs of us again. Let's be honest. And the thing that makes it worse now is that when all these journalists start coming up and start speaking all their crap, their credibility is going to be shot now. We're going to be like, oh, whatever. Let's see it when they believe it. Because we all knew that Jude was going to be at least 100 mil minimum. Dortmund don't have to sell. They're going to sell to the highest bidder. There's nothing in our history but under FSG. Okay, they went for Van Dijk, but no one else is going for Van Dijk. And it was 75 mil. They're going to have to go into minimum three figures to get Jude Bellingham. And from the way they're talking, Odgy is going to be like 200 mil. I'm not saying it's a small amount, but half the budget on one player. I get the idea, but they sold us a false bill of goods.
Mm-hmm. By pretending that's exactly
they what they're going to do. But
exactly.
The thing about it is, there's not going to be, okay, people are going to be outraged on Twitter, but what are the other ramifications? Nothing else is going to happen. People are still going to keep guys in the game.
We'll be able to figure out why people are angry, because I am one of those people, and we will get into that. But first of all, guys, there's 28 of you in here. Please smash a like off the bat. Subscribe to the channel. We are trying to chase down 1,000 subscribers, so please do that for me.
Subs up, people. Get them subs up.
Yeah, 100%. I'll quickly get through some of your comments because I always like to do that. You guys are always here commenting, so I think that is something we have to do. The Maddock piece is a PR spin. I've seen that, and we will probably touch on that at some point. If you two haven't seen that, apparently David Maddock, who we give a yellow circle to, is saying that we now might go back in for Tchouaméni and that we've contacted
Let me
just get through these comments first, and then we'll unleash it, mate. What an embarrassing club we have turned out to be. FSG of blood on their hands with due transfer. 100% agree. This one made me laugh. Big Beast, big up. Heard Mane punch Sané. Nunes should do the same with John Henry. Oh, gosh, that made me laugh. Our haters and transfer window is just negative. We ain't even in the transfer window yet. Thomas, hey, lads. Ben, remove the NR8 behind you. It reminds me too much about him. Mate, there's one positive thing. These two will always be my number eights. So, you know, That's how I'm seeing it right now. Ben, discuss the motive of briefing all of this. We'll try. Look, we don't know exactly what's happened, but we will try and figure it out. How did you go that long for searching for him to then pull out? Goodness knows. Julian says hello. Hello, mate. Klopp being a yes man. We'll get on to Klopp's input in this in just a bit. Ali says we have wasted a season just to not buy the guy. 100%.
Facts.
We've all just been lied to by FSG journalists who are getting paid by the club. Not sure they're paid by the club. And they're only reporting what they have been told, to be fair. Why would the club brief this? Massive lack of ambition after winning the CL. Maddock is full of, yeah. Shiggs, it isn't due to the player. It is the principle we managed to. Yeah, that is it. I think that is exactly it. And George finally says, give Bocetic the 8. No, not yet. the way I'm going to do it today, right, is because we literally just tweeted out everything last night that was cracking off. So I'm just going to show some tweets on the screen. And the way we're going to do it is we're just going to react to those tweets, give our opinions, give our thoughts. And we're going to start off with this cracker. This was the first piece of news that came out. I was speaking to the lads off air. This came out during the Champions League game, Man City versus Bayern Munich, and that just put the icing on the cake. City battering Munich. But yeah, Paul Joyce, who we can, you know, whenever this guy speaks, we have to just accept it. Barring an unexpected change in circumstances, it now seems unlikely that Jude Bellingham will come to Anfield in the summer. Now, Elliot, I'm going to come straight to you, mate. Immediately, people are coming up with these screenshots of Paul Joyce. Saying the same thing about Alisson Becker. This just feels a lot different to me.
Yeah, it's weird, this one, isn't it? It's the whole situation is weird. It's been weird for a long time, even if you take out all of this news the past 24 hours with how blatantly obvious that Liverpool wanted Bellingham. This makes it even weirder because why? It's strange, but I want to take it as face value because I want to believe the journalists and I want to believe that they're doing the jobs correctly, which obviously they are. And I'm going to believe that this is this. I don't really want to jump at or maybe the previous occasions. I think context as much, you know, changes all those ones in the past. So I'm going to believe it for face value. I'm going to take it as that. And I think it's done. And it makes the reason it makes sense. Obviously, the whole thing doesn't make sense if you kind of get what I mean. Two or three more midfielders with the money they're going to spend on Jude, you know, the weighing up, but some of the names which have been linked made me. I think I was shaking my head for about half an hour watching the Manchester City game, going, I can't believe what I'm reading. I could believe what I was reading in terms of what I'm looking at on the screen now. Bellingham not coming. I think that was always in the balance anyway. But some of the names is really weird, especially for Joyce's article. Joyce said Nunes and Tielemans. Tielemans, oh my goodness, me no. Nunes, we've already been told that's not happening. And then Neil Jones had an article with about five different names which Joyce didn't say. So it's a really strange one at the moment, even with all the Bellingham news, all the midfielders that are getting linked. It seems like everyone's just throwing names at it until something sticks. It's really quite strange.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you. I feel like now they've said, like, oh, Bellingham isn't coming, and that's that. Shiggs, it seems like today we've seen the entire midfield group of Europe be linked to our club, so... Where are you at with this, mate? I know you said to me off air and you said it's that you never believed it, but you've got to understand why people did believe it. We barely spent last summer, you know, our most reliable journalist, even last week, Paul Jones literally last week made an article. He changed the word eventually, but he originally said that Jude Bellingham, and I think this is key, Jude Bellingham is keen to come to Liverpool. He wanted this club. Like, that is a fact. But we can't, we don't have the facilities for that, big man. It's true. It's true. But it's the truth.
But this is the thing, though, and I always come in here and laugh and joke about, but, like, they've shown us our hand on two other occasions when we was in a better position than when we are now. They didn't pull the trigger on buying certain players. So now when we are where we are, I'm not surprised. I don't anything these guys do anymore. I'm not surprised by them because they are quick to pull the wool over people's eyes. And if you see how they've run the Boston Red Sox, it's been parallel in terms of how they deal with us, the way they deal with the Boston Red Sox. So I'm just like, listen, I don't get too annoyed by them because I'm not surprised by their antics anymore. Unfortunately, Klopp is just caught in the crosshairs because he's kind of their mouthpiece, and he's not going to speak up against the owners because they pay his salary, unfortunately. But now it's going to be really interesting to see how bad or how what's the word? How much Liverpool supporters are annoyed by this, because the only way they're going to be able to show it is by not going to games and stuff like that, which they won't do, which fans won't do. So it's like we have to grin and bear it, unfortunately, and kind of eat from scraps, because I don't really see them buying a top level midfielder. Who's there that they can go and spend? Any midfielder that's really worth any salt is going to cost upwards of 60, 70 mil at a push. That's on the lower side. So it's going to be interesting to see, but I get it. I think more so people are annoyed about the journalists and how they were for the last 6 or 7 months were spouting out how Judy's going to come, and then all of a sudden it just changes. So it just speaks to a wider kind of click, them trying to pull the wool over our eyes and everybody's involved.
I don't think that's necessarily true, though. I think they can only report what they've been told. And if that's what they've been told last night, then they can only report that. And if they've been told that Bellingham's coming.
My point is, Elliot, that may be true, but I think it's annoying more when people like, especially Paul Joyce, because he's a well-respected journalist.
Yeah.
For them to be saying what they're saying, then all of a sudden at the 12th hour, there to be a U-turn.
Well, that's where it hits like a massive explosion, doesn't it? Because they've obviously been told that Bellingham wants Liverpool want Bellingham, and it's a very strong possibility. And all of a sudden, I was absolutely nowhere. After like an hour after a German I forgot his name, said that a bid's been sent. An hour after that, not even that, it's all done. So what has happened? That's the bigger picture of this. I think there's something much more, which will maybe, probably, hopefully come out. It's not just something stopped. Something's happened, whether it's in the negotiations, whether it's Bellingham's part, whether it's Dortmund's part, whether it's Liverpool's part. Something else has happened here where every single journalist has been told something where they've been told the opposite a week beforehand. So I think there's something more to it, whether that means we'll look back at the Alisson articles where they said he's not coming or Kane is not coming. I don't think that's the case. I don't think Bellingham will happen now. I don't think that is the case, but I do think something else, why the scales happen for every single journalist within the Northwest to be reporting on it within the same hour.
Yeah, true.
Listen, maybe that bid did go in, and there's speculation that it was, we thought we could get him for 80 million or something like that.
I believe that. I'd like to think.
I've just seen it before. That's not the case.
I did as well. Yeah. I think The Guardian said 135 million plus, maybe not The Guardian, someone else. Should be expected, but like you can go and get two other midfielders for the same price. And I don't think throwing that money at a 19-year-old with his knee strapped up. Listen, I know he's a generational talent and will probably be one of the best midfielders. It is. I don't think he solves Liverpool problems necessarily for that much money. For that much money, that is mental.
Can I just ask a question? Right, just quickly, Ben, I know everybody's pissed off with this Jude thing, but I'm just throwing it out just to get people's opinions. If we do get two or three comparable midfielders.
This is what I was going to come on to.
Do you think it still hits the same way?
Yeah, well, let's read this tweet first and we'll get on to that. Due to the season's drop-off and infusing the squad with first-team talent means that committing such a huge chunk of this summer's transfer funds on Jude Bellingham is no longer regarded by the club as the best strategy. The overall package would be spoiled by wages. Now, Shiggs, I'm going to come straight to you, mate. I know you just asked that question. Mm. But, look, I want Jude. I was dreaming of Jude. But in hindsight, and we all know hindsight's a wonderful thing, providing the free, I think we're all pretty clear that's the sweet spot of amount of midfielders we need in the summer.
Yeah.
Providing the free that come in are good enough. And by that, I say this with all due respect, Mason Mount and Conor Gallagher, they can't be two of the three. If Mason Mount comes in as one of the three and the other two are players like Moises Caicedo and somebody of that ilk, so be it. But I cannot accept Mason Mount and Conor Gallagher being two of the three.
Mount maybe, but not Gallagher. Even Mount, I'm not really sold on. I know Elliot seems to like Elliot likes him, and I'm not having a dig. I'm just saying.
Yeah,
Mount, I could, even though he's not probably one of my first choices. Mount, I could see. Okay, he's a young English player. He might add something to. Gallagher, no way. I can't. There's nothing that guy will bring to Liverpool that we don't already have. For me, if they do that, you have to get rid of Curtis Jones. Because I still, even though most of the time I get on Curtis Jones' back, I think Curtis Jones is a better player than Gallagher. So let's not do that. No, they need, listen, now more than ever, the team need to pull a rabbit, the scouting team and the transfer team, they need to pull a rabbit out of the hat, even more so. Because this will go towards, if they do, obviously we're not going to get Jude, but if they do get something whereby we're like, well, I didn't even see that guy coming, and he's somebody that helps the team progress, then I think all will forget, they won't forget, but it will subside. But if they just end up getting Mount and Gallagher, oh, mate.
I think we can now pretty much say this comfortably. If we did sign Jude, with what we've seen in terms of the money and the finances involved, I was thinking, okay, you could get Jude for 120 and we could still spend 80 million on two more. It seemed like now if we did sign Jude, it would have been Jude and that's it. So if,
also
like
as well,
to Shiggs, go on.
Also as well, based on Trent's performance on Sunday. Is it Sunday?
Yeah. I don't think that had an influence.
No. I'm not saying it would. But what I'm saying is, If they went out and got a quality right back and pushed Trent into midfield, would you be annoyed with that?
I don't think that's necessarily. It was a whole different thing on the Sunday where maybe Trent was still borderline, still playing the right back, but like very inverted.
It's a good fact, but
it's a very nice thing to have that as an option, but I don't think it's not like you can't play the famous Klopp midfield role. It would have to be that inverted fullback kind of Guardiola's done. I do think it's a very nice thing to have, though. I get what you mean, but I don't think that will come into any sort of, especially if they go inside like a right back. Just for example, it wouldn't be linked, but Frimpong, you can bring him in, and that's the whole alternative thing. I don't think that's the right way to go about it at all. Anyway, so but that's what I.
Yeah, I think that as well. That's what I put to it the other day, saying if this was a thing for the future, right back.
Cool. Yeah.
And I was like, don't say Jeremy Frimpong because that's almost more attacking than Trent.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So yeah, no, it's a great option to have, and I thought Trent was brilliant against Arsenal. To be fair to him, and I'm just gonna put this. This is a very recent tweet, but we are gonna just discuss this very briefly. This just in: Liverpool links to Alexis McAllister, who, by the way, is one of my top three to come in. That's who I want now. Moises Caicedo and Nicolò Barella certainly of substance. Elliot, what do you make of that? Is this just again throwing names out there in your opinion, or do you think that these are genuinely players that we might be looking at?
I think the Caicedo one's a bit weird. He's not similar.
Didn't he just sign a new contract?
But I think that was Brighton doing what they do best and basically telling Arsenal to do one in January when they were after him. They've done that perfectly well. I think Barella's one, which stuck even going back 1 year ago, 2 years ago. I think Barella's a genuine one, only 26 as well. I was looking at doing a piece around, obviously, Bellingham alternatives and McAllister as well. McAllister, I do feel, is slightly different, where he can play more midfield roles than Bellingham. And I do think that's needed. And when you said before about Bellingham coming in for that much, and you think you can get two more with the 80 million, you know, with this transfer budget, we don't know, obviously, how much it is. If Bellingham is the one, you need more anyway. So I think if you want to be like, everyone wants to be angry, and I think everyone has a right to be angry that they've kind of just wasted the season again. It happened to Tuchemany as well. But logically, if you got this set budget, you can't have Bellingham as the one, in my opinion. So these names are nice, not what we wanted, but Barella, I think, is one which could have some substance. It says Daniel Jones, very, very respectful Jones, but Barella's one, I think, is like the nice alternative to Bellingham, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be more than happy if that was the alternative, to be fair. But we don't know, like we've said, we've been linked with the whole of Europe today. So we have no idea, you know, what's legit and what's not. But guys, I've just seen there's only 7 likes on the stream. There's 43 of you in here. So please,
come on, people.
Show us some support. Get those likes up for us. We've still got a lot more to discuss. Keep bringing your comments in, and I'll keep getting them up on the screen. But please make sure that like button is smashed for us. We would appreciate that a lot. Now, got another tweet here. Liverpool want to target new players as soon as the transfer window opens, and there is now a risk that the pursuit of Jude Bellingham becomes a drawn-out saga, given the level of interest in him. Shakes, this coming summer, we all know how important this is to our fortunes for the next year, the year after, the year after.
Yeah.
How crucial do you think it is that on that first day of pre-season, our targets are, right, we know who's in, they're signed, sealed, delivered, and they're there ready to train first day of pre-season ahead of the next season?
Yeah, it always bodes well when you've got your players in from the pre-season, because it doesn't, not that it doesn't, but they always take 6 months to be to bed in anyway, or other than a couple of players. But it's always important, because as soon as you start from pre-season, you're not starting, if you don't get there at the beginning of pre-season, I feel like you're starting behind everybody, because you still have to get up to speed. And by the time the season starts, you're probably not going to get up to speed till about September, October time, just because you're catching up with fitness and the way the new team plays and all those things. So it's important. The perfect scenario would be the season ends, and kind of like when we did with Fabinho, bam, just midfielder there, kind of thing. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
But the way things are, I don't know how much confidence you don't have in that happening, because I don't. I seriously don't. I don't know what's happened.
Now we've pulled out of Jude. I'm not saying that I think, you know, it's going to be in the next couple of weeks. I think they'll let the season finish first.
Yeah.
But I think we'll quickly know who he's going to sign. Because like I say, I asked you the question, and my take is that I think we will have who we need ready for pre-season. Because this is such a, I think so. This is huge, mate.
Okay.
This is going to be one of the biggest shakeups, especially in midfield. And we've all said, haven't we, that, you know, you need a good midfield to win titles and to compete. So for three to go out, and then potentially three to come in, we can't wait until the last week of August to get our players in. We can't wait until deadline day to submit a bid for Caicedo. If we are going to get these players in, which we are going to bring players in. That is a fact. They have to come in early for me. And with this Jude Bellingham stuff coming out today or yesterday, as bad as it is, and I'm absolutely livid about it, I was honestly so excited to see that guy play for us, and you know, as a fan that's lucky enough to get down to Anfield, when your club signs these players, it just makes you like a little kid when you see him. I remember going to Luis Diaz's debut against Leicester City. Absolutely magical performance. So it's just those little things that, oh yes, we're gonna get, and then all of a sudden to be told, actually, you know, Liverpool haven't progressed as much as I thought, and we're back to square one where we can't afford these players. It's like, oh, we're back. So I think, I don't know who's going to sign, but as long as they are good in, well, not good enough, good enough isn't good enough in that sense. As long as they are good enough to bridge the gap and to get us back to competing that almost instantly, then we'll see what happens, because they have to make it up to the supporters now. They have to go out there and get some very good midfielders. Not, you know, James Ward-Prowse of this world, and so on, met some John McGinn's and Conor Gallagher's. I think there was a kid from Bristol City, Alex Scott. Looks like an incredible talent. Don't get me wrong, looks like a brilliant player. We don't need to sign players like that right now, in my opinion. I'm sorry, we don't.
The ideal world is that Bellingham joins and you can bring a couple of them also in where they can mature alongside Bellingham. That would have been the perfect thing.
Yeah.
You know, we were all in Bellingham and Mount, they can play alongside each other, you can grow together. That would have been so ideal. And now you are, as you said, Ben, back at square one. It literally is that. But hopefully, unlike Tchouaméni, they actually have some sort of list where, it doesn't seem to be, because the amount of names I've seen, again, I'm going to go back to Tillemans. I could not believe what I was reading from Joyce. It's a really worrying article, but Jones's article is much more positive, in my opinion. Whether we don't know what's true or not, really, but
I wouldn't want Tillemans in the team either. I don't think
not at all.
I've said that from day one. Even last season, people were like, oh, would you take him for 20 mil?
No way.
Elliot, you just mentioned you hope Tillemans isn't true. Well, I hope this isn't true, mate. Manchester United have entered the race to sign Jude Bellingham this summer and are on course to financially reinforced by a return to the Champions League. Manchester City, Real Madrid, Chelsea and Paris Saint-Germain are also courting Bellingham and have greater financial power. How much of a sucker punch would it be for you if we end up going to one of our domestic rivals?
It would be a killer, but it'd be even more of a killer because City, PSG, I don't think they really, with what we think we know, is Bellingham wants a club who's got all the history. You know, it's, you know, not
he said that himself.
Yeah, we know that. So when you mention all the pre-season stuff, like that being used as an excuse, if Bellingham could be in Liverpool on the first day of the window if they really wanted to, but they don't want to. Listen, it logically may be the best thing, but you can't go after a midfielder for a year and go no. And then if United possibly even like get further than Liverpool have, it's going to be like a laughing stock. And it's already embarrassing for Liverpool. It was always going to be the case if he didn't join Liverpool. Yeah. And now it's a drawn-out drama with 9 games a season. Let's go, why are they briefing? It's briefing the journalists now. Wait.
You've got to think Liverpool, for him as well. He's in a title race.
Yeah, he's in a title race. Liverpool have still got something to play for, albeit Europa League football. That's still a massive thing for me next season because you can't have Anfield empty on midweeks when everyone else is playing European football. We've seen how Klopp can galvanise Europa League like tournaments, even if it is Europa League. Liverpool got something massive to play for still. And they're letting all these journalists know that the big shine of light at the end of the tunnel is now closed off. There's no end of that tunnel. It's just, and now you've got United and all that. It didn't have to be this if Liverpool didn't want it to be. Where I just think there's got to be something else, you know what I mean? Like, I can't see something where it's just Liverpool have put like, oh, it just stopped. Like, something else has got to have happened, whether it's Bellingham or Dortmund or Liverpool playing some sort of negotiation tactic. I'd love to like eventually
that would be the dream.
All right, fellas, I've got to go, but listen, I'm going to be watching it in the comment section. Yeah,
that's fine, bro. Take care, mate. Thanks for jumping on, mate.
No problem. Cheers. No problem. My pleasure, bro. Take care.
You too, mate. See you in a bit. I mean, I was laughing a bit when you was talking, mate. It wasn't at you. It was at the tweet that's coming up next. This, honestly, when I read this tweet earlier, I was like, oh my God.
That's why just... like so over the top, isn't it? Like, I know Liverpool fans and we are doing it right now. We're not happy, but it just, that doesn't help, does it? You're weirding the things.
No, he really didn't. Even if he starts singing "You're Never Walking Alone" down the phone, oh my Lord. When I read that, I was like, you've got to be kidding. There's no way a Liverpool journo has put that in an article when the fan base is literally fighting with each other about this. Florian Plettenberg says that news, LFC still on the shortlist and being discussed with Klopp. Confirmed Declan Rice, one we've not touched on much. Moises Caicedo, Nicola Barella, Gravenberch and Nunes. Well, I think this is a bit wrong now, to be fair, because
our own journalist,
Nunes, isn't.
It's so weird to me that Nunes is the one getting said now, even though last week the reliable Wolves journalists were saying that's not happening. What is happening then? Do you guys know? Because we don't. We're left in the dark, and it seems like some of the journalists don't know what names are actually the ones that are happening or not.
And then there's this one. The word from inside Anfield is that Liverpool's decision to move on from Bellingham is a tactical one. I mean, wasn't very tactical, realistically, was it? Because, first of all, most of the targets, I'd say 90% of the targets that we are now seeing, the names that we're being linked with, we could have signed them in the summer. That's not tactical. That's just pooing your pants, realising, oh, we can't get Bellingham now. Oh, let's make out that we're doing it because we need this and that and the other. No. The plan was to always sign Bellingham. You found out, actually, you can't get him for the price you wanted. And now we're putting this nonsense out. And the last sentence for me, it did make me think, you know what? Maybe. But still, like, when they say significant defensive signing, Elliot, are they talking about Evan and Deco and a free? Or are they talking about a very, very top signing for a centre-back? Because Dicker wouldn't be significant, in my opinion.
No, I don't think... Well, that quote's from Jones. I think Jones shut down and Dicker himself was saying what he heard from the club was that that wasn't happening. Obviously, we don't know if it will or won't, but I think a significant defensive signing could still, to me, when I look at that, I still think, does that mean a six? Because if it does, then that's worrying, because that should definitely be high up, much higher up the list, and that shouldn't be. It should always be Bellingham and the six, because you missed out on Tchouaméni because of that. Like, this all goes back to like a contingency planning system, which Liverpool are meant to be so good at, and you kind of just thrown it, it's all gone, you know, up the wall, because you plan, you have a backup plan for Tchouaméni, you get Bellingham now, but now because you haven't had the backup plan for Tchouaméni, you're having to plan around that, which therefore means you can't go and get Bellingham for this mad price because you've got to prioritise another signing. It's just mental how what was one of the best run football clubs in the country when they were winning trophies is now getting laughed at because you prioritise two midfielders for 2 years and you don't get them without, you don't even try that hard to get them, and now you're in eighth place. It's just mental to me.
No, I agree. I echo everything you've just said. Jamie, big up, mate. I hope you're good. I'm fine, mate. Well, I was until I found out Jude isn't coming. But listen, like, I seen a few people on Twitter, a few idiots, say stuff about Jude. Like, and it's like, look, I'm not going to be like that. If Jude goes to one of our rivals, I've just got to accept it. It's a very bitter pill to swallow. But one of our rivals will have gained, in my opinion, he's going to be the best midfielder in the world. I've said that for 2 years. If you go back on my tweets on my personal account, I've been tweeting about Bellingham since 2021. And back then I thought we could get him for 60 million because he just signed for Dortmund for 20 something. I've wanted him ever since I've seen him in that season. I think it was in lockdown. And when I see my club is seriously linked with him, you just get involved and it's hard. I know. I don't think I'll ever pull away from that. The whole transfer side to it, I'm not obsessed with it. I don't think it's the be-all and end-all. But, you know, when you are told by people that you trust that this guy's keen on Liverpool, Liverpool still see him as their high priority, and then all of a sudden they do a full U-turn, that's when it's very disappointing for me. And another disappointment would be if this guy on the screen right now, Elliot, is the Jude Bellingham alternative.
That again, it's like it was one thing after another where you think, oh my goodness me, with like some names are getting said, and then you maybe think, oh, maybe it's not that bad, and then you get that can't happen. Mount can't be the alternative. Mount and Bellingham are getting linked at the same time. Well, yeah, but like at the same time they were getting linked, and it was always meant to be the case these are going to be the figureheads of the rebuild. And now you're saying, oh, Mount will be like the main target when realistically he was the secondary target. So don't like change all the planning. Have Mount there as one of your targets, but whoever Bellingham's backup plan was, go for them as well. If it is Gallagher, then that can't happen because regardless of what you think of Gallagher, two players from Chelsea in the same window, I doubt that would be possible. Well, it doesn't matter if Chelsea are being really bad. We are also not great at the moment. I still don't think that's like possible. So you need backup options. You can't just have Mount as the backup option when he was never even in the same bracket of options with Bellingham. It doesn't make sense.
No, you're right. And we've finished with the tweets now. I think that's pretty much it. I just wanted to touch on Klopp's input in all of this, mate. And I don't know what your opinion is, but I know it's a big talking point on Twitter. There's a lot of disagreement. Some people think it is Klopp being happy and being, yes, man, I think people call him to FSG, and some people say he's the mouthpiece and he aligns with FSG's point of views and opinions. But the way I see it, right, when he signed that contract, he was like we know, he was told that, you know, we're going to give you money, we're going to invest, we're going to almost build a Liverpool 2.0. The first target we wanted goes to Real Madrid. And like I said at the start of the stream, you can't really blame him. European champions, he's probably wanted to go there for a long time, so be it. But then a player comes along that wants us, that we want, and then Klopp is told, what we're led to believe, that there's going to be finances available for you to go and get him. So Klopp, you know, okay, fine, let's do that then. Let's wait a year. Obviously, there's a lot of quotes that came out about him from pre-season where he was like, okay, tell me what midfielder I need. That's just him sticking up for his players, which most good managers do. But people seem to think, mate, and I want to hear your take on this, that Klopp is literally sat there, happy that we're not strengthening, happy that we're not signing Jude Bellingham. And for me, I can't see why people can blame him, because we all know how Liverpool works. He's not the one making decisions financially. He's not the one making decisions who we sign. I know there's been a bit of speculation about that recently, that him and Pep have got more involved. But what's your thoughts on that, mate? How much of this do you think is on Klopp? And Yeah, do you think he is an FSG yes man, or do you just think he has to just kind of get on with it?
I think FSG yes man is so strong for someone who just isn't that. I think, I mean, I'm paraphrasing, obviously you'd have to find some exact quotes from past like matches. He's said, like, you know, maybe they can't afford, Liverpool can't afford to do this or that, because he knows that he's on a budget. Listen, I don't think any manager in the world would be happy with that, but you can't. I don't think he's done it like maybe once or twice where he's actually openly said, like, as a negative thing. And I remember being a bit shocked at the time. Again, you'd have to find the quotes. I'm just going off my memory alone. But I don't think he's going to be, you know, buzzing. Why would he be? He's not going with FSG. Oh, yes, let's do that, because that would be such a good idea. He won't be happy. How unhappy he is going to be a concern, because if it gets to the summer and no one's actually been signed, or we'd like to think that wouldn't happen, but the way Liverpool are going, it's not out of the realms of possibility. Could he walk? I don't think so, but you know what I mean? It gets up to that point where you're thinking he's been let down once, he's been let down again, he's been let down maybe with some sorts of contracts. I know maybe, you know, whether he was in the right or wrong with maybe a Mane contract, I know maybe for, again, very not the probably greatest example for star players, but he wants a Milner deal. I know that may be more on Milner himself. But if FSG aren't willing to go that extra mile for some of the things Klopp wants, how unhappy will he get, which would then be the biggest worry for me in all this. I think he's so far away from FSG, yes, man. But I think he obviously understands the scenario, and he's willing to work within that. But whether this one may get one step too far, but he will be unhappy, we'll have to wait and see. I doubt it. Like, would it be unhappy in the public? And, you know, his job maybe in, you know, doubt. I doubt that. But I don't think he's going to be pleased. There was reports saying that he phones about Bellingham. He wants to keep up to date with Bellingham every day. What man is going to be happy about that when you get told that you're not getting him? That's not possible for him to be happy about this.
Absolutely, mate. And I agree with what you said. I think when Klopp signed that contract, you know, I tweeted this earlier, he deserves more credit than I think he got, because, look, he knows we're not got the financial power to compete with City, United, Newcastle now, Chelsea. He knew that. Whether we were going to sign Bellingham or not, that would pretty much be a, you know, giving everything we have to getting him in. So for me to accept that straight away, he deserves credit. And then for people to blame him for this, again, I said it before, I just don't see how he has the blame. Yes, he might have been a bit naive in the summer. I'm not saying he's immune from criticism. If it was, you know, if he was influential in not getting an alternative for Jude Bellingham, then fair enough. Like, he deserves criticism for that, because I think that is a bit silly. And I think, like I said to you, mate, just before, most of the players that we are linked with now, I feel like we could have just signed in the summer anyway. So we have wasted a season, and who knows whether we sign some of the targets that we're now linked with back in the summer, we could be sat here talking about Champions League football next season. But we're not. We've missed out on Jude. We're not going to get top four. And you know what, mate? To be honest, and I didn't think Jude would be put off by not getting top four, and it seems like that is the case, because it seems like all these journalists are still saying that, you know, Liverpool is the club that he wants to go to. So that is another thing for me. Like, obviously, we know Liverpool rely on top four money, for one. So that's got to be a factor in the decision, you know, not to get him in, which is a shame. But that's just how our club is, unfortunately. But like you say, mate, and I think like we've discussed several times, and we're going to wrap up in a minute because the football is kicking off in 20 minutes. I feel like, in hindsight, it is potentially the correct call, depending on who the players they bring in are. If they're three quality midfielders, sure, that's what we need right now. That is what we need, and potentially centre back. Whereas if we did get Jude Bellingham and then maybe a free centre back, do you feel like the same sort of problems would still be there, or do you think Bellingham would have been enough to solve most of them?
I don't know. This was always my worry with Bellingham anyway, whether whatever happened as well as him, whether he would necessarily just, you know, fix every single issue Liverpool have had, because the issues have all of a sudden went from midfield to defence to attack within a number of weeks. It's worrying in itself. So whether one midfielder who's only 19 years old with his knee strapped up and haven't played over how many games already at 19 is going to fix that, playing, what, three times a week if it, you know, most of the time for a club like Liverpool, it's hard to say. I think the quite easy answer is to say it's a risk, but it's clearly a risk Liverpool are willing to take, but now that's obviously not going to happen. So I think you need three. You do at minimum three. I always said that with or without Bellingham, minimum needs to be three. And if Matip or Gomez or both, don't think both will go, but if one of them do, you need a centre half. So if they're going to be, if it's clever, and maybe we'll all be, you know, going, oh, maybe we were wrong, and they're going to do it wild, like clever, smart signings, because Liverpool, Klopp built the Liverpool team that went on to be so successful with smart signings. Listen, the market's gone mental since then, obviously. But if they want to try and go with that approach again, I think we'll have to wait and see. I don't think you can judge. If a Conor Gallagher comes in the window, I don't think everyone can sit there and go, oh, it's awful, awful, awful. On paper, maybe it is, but it could go on to be well beaten under Klopp, because Klopp is like that. Only 22 years old, Gallagher. I'm just purely using him as an example. I don't think I'd be pleased, but I don't think it's something to be, you know, so not angry, but like you can't be so negative when maybe this, as you said, in hindsight, it could be the smarter move for Liverpool, where you've got a few players who you can go on to develop who aren't anywhere near Bellingham, but you're going to then prioritise more signings, which will just help the whole team, because one player might not do that. But it's all hypotheticals, isn't it? It's impossible to say what will happen or what will happen or won't. So it's just one of them, unfortunately.
No, I agree. And I know a lot of Liverpool fans on social media, and that they make their feelings known with signings. And when players sign that they don't agree with, they just write them off straight away. We saw it with Darwin Nunes quite a bit. I'm not like that. I don't want Conor Gallagher whatsoever. But if that is the one we signed, if he's one of them, then I'd have no choice but to try and at least give it a go. But I'm sorry, we can't go from Bellingham to these to players like Conor Gallagher, in my opinion.
So hopefully
that, you know, some of the players that we are linked with, we sign the better options that are available. And hey, Ali says, I can't find his comment now, but it was something about maybe we'll play poker with Dortmund and negotiation tactics. Look, there is a world where I think there's a possibility now that Jude will stay at Dortmund for another season. And if he does, he might sign a new deal with a release clause. And then maybe who knows what will happen next summer. But I think for now, we can just kind of forget about it. And this is why I think it might have come out a bit earlier, because it's clear we're not going to get him this summer. So it's not ideal to have that come out with us, for us to have 9 games left to play. But at least we know it's done now, and we can start looking at other targets. The fans can start, you know, thinking, oh, okay, that one's out the way now. Let's see what else we can do. It's not acceptable whatsoever. I think that it's a disgrace that we haven't signed Jude Bellingham after putting so much groundwork, all of our eggs into the basket. There's no one else I'm blaming apart from FSG for this. I know people will come and try and blame Klopp. Absolutely no chance from me. You're not getting that. I put a tweet out earlier again where we was on Wembley Way after the FA Cup semi-final last year, because it was almost a year till the date, and we was all singing the Jurgen Klopp song, I'm in love with him and I feel fine, and I captioned it, trust Klopp, not FSG. And I know some people will disagree with that, and people say, oh, they're both to blame. For me, if you back this manager, we've seen what the rewards can be. We've seen it. Mm-hmm. When they signed Virgil van Dijk, Alisson, Fabinho, okay, yeah, we did have to sell our best player at the time to get them, but we instantly challenged for the Premier League, the Champions League. We won FA Cup. We won everything else there is to win. So it's now time for the board to do that again. You know, we're not going to get Jude this summer. Let's see who we do get. And fingers crossed, it's enough to get us back to competing next season, because that's what we all want. But guys, I'm going to leave it there. There's still 40 of you in here, which is mad. We've never had this amount of people stay until the end of a stream. So please smash that like button on your way out. It would mean the absolute world to us. Subscribe if you haven't already, because we are on, what are we on now? I think we've gained some since we've been live, to be fair. We're on 793, guys. We're trying to get to 1,000. So please drop a like and subscribe if you haven't already. And next time, when will next time be? Who would you, Leeds
Monday
on Monday,
Leeds. Yeah.
Leeds on Monday. So we'll probably do like a half an hour one after the game. If not, we'll do it the next night. But take care, guys. Hope you all had a wonderful Easter and a great bank holiday week. And we'll see you next time.
Take care, everyone.
Sports Social Podcast Network.